Good to see everyone here this morning. It's great to have visitors. We don't often get visitors from Philadelphia and New York area at the same time, but we're glad you're here. We've all heard the old saying, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? And it's often used to convey if a person is a pessimist or a cynic, so to speak, in life. And we often use cynicism to deal with less than favorable conditions. Cynical humor helps us get through some uncomfortable situations, such as when the temperature gets over 100 degrees in Noun, Texas this summer. We might laugh a bit at some of these gems about life in Texas. You notice your radiator is overheating before you even start the car. The thermometer on the lid of your barbecue grill shows 150 degrees before you even light it. You hear the weather forecast for 105 degree weather, and it doesn't bother you. You discover in July it only takes two fingers to drive your car because the steering wheel is just too hot. You run your house AC in the middle of winter so you can use your fireplace. The best parking is determined by shade, not distance. Hotter water comes out of the cold tap than out of the hot tap. You actually burn your hand opening up the car door. And of course, the last one, you put on fresh sunscreen just to go check the mail. Cynicism can be more dark and somber, such as in Ecclesiastes 3, 16 through 22. In Ecclesiastes 3, 16 through 22, and moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. Verse 17, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart, concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Every one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dies the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above the beast, for all is vanity. Verse 20. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Verse 21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth down to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Now, Ecclesiastes can be a kind of a depressing book to read. Solomon at that time was kind of looking at life in the half-empty mode, kind of looking at how bad things can be without looking that he still has half left. We kind of do that in life. We start reaching a certain age when we realize that there's no way on God's green earth that we got more time left than the time we already spent. In the new Indiana Jones movie, at the beginning of the movie, a friend tells Indiana Jones, we've reached that stage in life when life takes more away from us than it gives us. And I thought that was kind of a profound statement, because when we're young and starting out, life is all in front of us and, all the possibilities are there, whatever we can imagine. But as we do get older, we start to change in our thinking. And sometimes we can get into Solomon's mode of thinking. But we shouldn't be that way. The world today is full of cynics. Those individuals who are fault-finding critics and who adhere to the belief that human conduct is motivated purely by self-interest. And of course it doesn't help when those are the headlines we see on the news every day. Salacious news is what sells. So that's what they're going to put on. They don't put up the good things that are out there. I remember growing up, there was a newspaper that the kids sold back then to raise a little money for stuff. It was called Grit. And in this, really, it was the stories behind the stories, but they focused so much on positive stories about the space race that was going on, details like that. People who helped other people. It wasn't, you know, anything in it about all the problems of the world and all the hatred, all the murder, all the wars and everything like that, the pestilence, and the suffering that people do. It wasn't about that. So, we have to determine today if our life is half empty or half filled. We all enjoy a good story. We especially like stories that have neat and tidy endings. We do not mind if the story is a sad story filled with hardship, just as long as everything works out in the end. I don't know if you're like me, but there's no worse story than a story that leaves the characters in just as bad shape or even dead in some cases at the end of the story. It just seems so sad. You wanted everything to work out for them and everything to be bright and rosy and live happily ever after, as the story says. We like good to triumph and wrong to get justice. We want the good people to come out on top and the bad people to wind up in jail. For illustration, let's look at three childhood fairy tales, and we'll see just how that is, kind of following the theme of happily ever after. You know, in the story of Humpty Dumpty, we're not bothered by the fact that all the king's horses and all the king men couldn't put him back together. Part of the reason that we could live with that as a child's tale is that no one pushed Humpty Dumpty off the wall. No one hurt him. And, you know, that would have been unfair if someone would have pushed him off and he couldn't have been put back together. We would have been sad as children. But nobody was to blame, and everyone tried to help him. In fact, it's probably more a cautionary tale or a warning not to fool around and be careless up on high places, or we could get hurt, or hurt ourselves or others. Well, we can live with a story like Humpty Dumpty, because his own lot was his own. If we look at Cinderella, we're told of a beautiful young girl who is treated harshly by her stepmother and her stepsister. The young woman, after being taunted by them for years, being forced to do the hard work, gets to go to the ball at the castle, and she meets the prince. And in the end, all the women there try to take their place and sit down and put on that slipper, but only the slipper fit her foot. So no matter how bad her life was, no matter how bad her circumstances were, that she was unable to remain with the prince, but that she had to run away because everything was going to crumble after midnight. But she left the slipper there, and that redeemed her, and that brought her back. You know, there was a time when movies portrayed heroes that were good at heart, honest, and law-abiding. Then movies began portraying what is called the anti-hero, someone who was not so good, maybe a killer or a thief who felt some sympathy for the oppressed of some poor western town, and he rallied to their defense against worse evil people. Heroes with many flaws who broke the law to bring someone really evil to justice is what we see today. The lines are blurred, and we have sympathetic bad guys and terminally flawed heroes out there. Sad endings we can handle, but not unjust endings. Suffering makes us sad, but injustice makes us mad. So these movies work because in the end, justice is meted out, even though these characters are flawed. And they may say, well, these characters are more like we are. But stories are there for a reason. We have the stories of old. We have those stories that were told of great characters, of pure characters, characters with strong moral fiber. And we certainly knew we weren't like that, but it inspired us towards that goal. We were striving towards something good there, but we don't see that anymore. In our minds, we still long for fairness and equity. We still want stories to end so well so that everyone can live happily ever after. However, I'm here to tell you that life is not that neat and tight. We don't all live life like that, and maybe that's why we escape to the movies. Because in the movie is a life that we'd like to live. The character gets beaten down, somehow finds his way back and becomes even greater than he was before. Maybe even controlling the bad character that put him in that situation. You know, there's not always a glass slipper there to bring us back up to where we should be. And some of those who we thought were generous, unselfish givers were in actuality greedy, self-serving takers. And we've met those in life. If a person lives with injustice long enough, especially if that person lacks a divine perspective in their life, that person will become disillusioned and ultimately cynical. And such is in the Journal of King Solomon, written by his hand. It can be described as Confessions of a Cynic. We find King Solomon unwilling to look up in dependence upon the Almighty God, and too stubborn to bow his head in prayer. Do you remember the theme of his journal? Everything is barren, futile, emptiness. That's kind of why I don't like to read Ecclesiastes, because it does focus on that half-empty glass. It does focus on those dark things. But the one thing we need to do is we need to think of those things. I'm not saying in the same way Solomon did, because we're overcomers, and we can triumph over these dark times, and we can win the battle. The late great American poet, critic, satirist, diplomat, and abolitionist James Russell Lowell once said, "Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne." We look around life and we can see that. We can see how evil wins, and we can see how truth always winds up on the hanging gallows. How the truth is sacrificed for the sake of the almighty dollar, for preeminence over others. And we see that often, over and over again. If life cannot be comfortable, at least it can be fair. In Ecclesiastes 4:1, Solomon tells us, "Again, I looked and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of the oppressors, and they have no comforter." Can you feel the heaviness in his words? The sighs? There is something within humanity that longs for judicial justification. If someone is oppressed, then at least someone ought to be there to comfort them. And so often today, there's no one there to comfort the oppressed. In Ecclesiastes 5:8, we're told, "Don't be too upset when you see the poor kicked around, and justice and right violated all over the place. Exploitation filters down from one petty official to another. There's no end to it, and nothing can be done about it." Again, in Ecclesiastes 8:9, he basically said, "All this I observed as I tried my best to understand all that is going on in this world. As long as men and women have power to hurt each other, that's the way it is." That's sad. That depresses you. You know, we're not going to find peace on this earth. We can find happiness as Christians, because we're happy with what God gives us. We're happy with what He gives us, and we're happy because we know that He will continue to give us. And in the end, when life is taken away from us, we go to live with Him forever and ever. So does cynicism have a solution? You know, for a rare moment, King Solomon looks above the sun. Injustice will only have a temporary reign, he says. Relief is coming. Wrong will not last forever, because it's going to be judged under the sovereign hand of God. Injustice reveals our beast-like behavior. By living in an unjust world without God Almighty, we become beast-like in our nature, beast-like in our actions and reactions, and beast-like in our destiny. The realization and admission of this terrible fact ought to convince us that we need help outside of ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't put down the oppressed. The oppressed are always going to be there. The homeless are always going to be there. We can only help so many. Bad things are going to happen to good people. by the hands of evil and wrong people. Apart from God, there is no salvation. Apart from the brothers and sisters, there is no bringing of that salvation. We have a world out there that is dying in its cynicism. We do not need to try to understand our circumstances. We do not need to compare them with another person's lot. We need not retaliate. We need not resist. We need not become bitter because we think we didn't get a fair shake in life. We need to replace that self-pity, that anger, and that jealousy with courage in our lives. We need to quit whining, woe is me, and start thinking in terms of, here's my message to the world. Let me leave you with a story of a great blind performer, American, and motivational speaker, Tom Sullivan. He's made guest appearances on MASH and on the TV show Fame. He appeared in Airport 77. In 1982, his biography came out as a movie, If You Could See What I Hear. And the same name he wrote of the book he wrote in 75. He's appeared on Good Morning America. He once said, you've got a disadvantage? Take advantage of it. That sure seems odd that someone would say that. He said that people do not buy similarity. They buy differences. You know, the Bible says we are different. We offer hope in a world of cynicism. Just remember that cynicism will be directed our way. We're going to face the cynicism of the world because we offer hope. Because just as Tom Sullivan said, the world seeks out differences. And we have a different message than the rest of the world. We have a message of hope and salvation, of joy, of fellowship together. These are the things that come our way. But we have to remember that it does not come without the cynicism of the world. You can offer hope all every day of the week, but you're going to get the cynicism back from the world. I'm always amazed when some Christian is appalled at being persecuted by those around him that reject Jesus. Jesus said that if they persecuted him, we should not be surprised when they persecute us. In John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. So, we have a message for a cynical world. Don't be afraid to give it to them. But don't be surprised when the cynicism comes right back at you. Can you imagine the impact in your life if you could overcome your cynicism and self-pity in life by the power of Jesus Christ? Can you imagine the lives that you could reach and strengthen simply by being all you can be for Jesus Christ? Everybody has a story, and you don't know my story, and I don't really know your story. However, if we'll let God take complete control of us through Jesus and direct our path, our stories can all have the same ending. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter where you're going to have to go in this life. But we can all have the same outcome, as that is life eternal with Jesus. We can look at life as being half full. We can look at our time on earth as being less than we've already had. We can look at our time on earth as being filled with more aches and pains than in our youth. We can look at our time on earth and say, I didn't get a fair shake. I didn't get what I should have. I should be much better than that. Why can't I find that brass ring or that glass slipper? Or why did I fall off that wall? We can say why all day, but we can accept Jesus and change our lives around so that we walk in the light of our Lord. We walk with our fellow Christians. And when we have self-pity and doubt, we can think about our brothers and sisters who have even less than we have. And we can reach out and help them. And, you know, when you're helping someone else, you don't think about your own problems, but you're focused on the problems of others. There's so much that Christ can give us in our lives. So much He can do. And I tell you what, in the end, in eternity, that glass is neither half full or half empty. It is full, overflowing. Pressed down, as the scriptures say. Shaken down and packed all it can be. That's what heaven holds for us. Don't be a cynic today. Don't let cynicism rule your life. Let Christ overcome it. Let Him show you what your life can be in Him. I don't know what your condition is this morning or what your needs may be. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?